Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Yud Dalet. We are holding on daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We are at Tanu Rabbanan, about five lines before the end of the page. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children. Also, today's daf is sponsored anonymously by proud Talmidim of Yeshiva Sorbeinu Yitzchak and Chanan, in appreciation for the yeshiva endowing me with the Abraham Arbisfeld Chair at the upcoming virtual Reads Dinner this coming Tuesday. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to discuss today is the Gemara is going to talk about a Kohen Gadol who's an Onain, and there's going to be a cryptic comment about something that he does kol hayom. So the Gemara is going to discuss what that means, what it is that he is kol hayom while he is an onain. And then the Mishnah on Yud Dalet Amud Aleph is going to tell us what the Kohen Gadol does in the week in advance of Yom Kippur, which avodos he partakes in the week of his sequestering prior to Yom Kippur, and also throughout the year what he's entitled to in terms of the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara is going to then discuss on the bottom of Amud Aleph when Shlomo HaMelech says, "Amarti echkem avihi rechokem mimeni." So it relates to the Parah Aduma, that there was something about Parah Aduma that's beyond the understanding of Shlomo HaMelech. So the Gemara is going to talk about what about the Parah Aduma exactly is beyond the understanding of Shlomo HaMelech. Then we're going to have a stira between a Mishnah and Yuma, and a Mishnah Maseches Tamid, which comes first, the Ketores or the Atavas Haneros. And the Gemara is also going to have a discussion what we break up the Atavas Haneros with, meaning we were made of Chamish Neros and then Shtei Neros. So what happens in between? So that's going to be at the end of the daf. So let's begin. Tanu Rabbanan on daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. So says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Kohen Gadol Makriv Onein VaOchel Onein Aveino Ochel. Rather, a Kohen Gadol could be Makriv Karbanos when he's an Onein, even though a Kohen Hedyot is Makriv Karbanos while he's an Onein, we're Pasul the Avoda. A Kohen Gadol is allowed to be Makriv even though he happens to be an Onein. The Torah explicitly is Matirit for him because the Torah tells us, that even on the day that his mother or father died, he doesn't have to leave his kedusha, he doesn't have to stop the avodas hakarbanos, and the kachim that he's involved with are not going to become pasul. That's how Rashi explains in Dibur HaMaskil Hikriv. Then Rashi further points out that the Gemara tells us in Maseches Vachim, from the fact that it's medayik, from the fact that the Torah says this heter by a Kohen Gadol, that it's dafko, a Kohen Gadol is not mechal the avoda, but a Kohen Hedyot who does the avoda as an onein is in fact mechalel the avoda. The Kohen Gadol is allowed to be makrav aninus, it seems from the sugya Maseches Moed Katan Daf Yudalid, because the simcha of his kedusha prevents aninus from being chal, not unlike the simchas haregel that a person doesn't experience a sense of avelus or aninus on yom tovim. Avelus is not chal on a regel, so every day for the Kohen Gadol is like a regel in terms of the simcha of his connection to the avoda. So again, a Kohen Gadol is makriv onein, but ve'eino ochel, he's not allowed to eat kachim because of the avoda we were matir for him to do when he was an onein. But achilas kachim is a different story. The makar of the isra of achilas kachim for an onein, the Gemara in Zvachim darshens from what it says by vidoy maestros, that by maestros sheni it says lo achalti ba'oni mimenu, that one of the things that a person says when he's when he does the vidoy maestros is that he didn't eat maestros sheni ba'oni. So if you see that you're not even allowed to eat maestros sheni ba'oni, so certainly you're not allowed to eat other kal v'chomer, you're not allowed to eat kachim, which are more chomer than maestros sheni ba'oni. So that's pretty clear, that a Kohen Gadol could be a maker of karbanos, he's not allowed to eat the karbanos. And then comes the cryptic line, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol hayom, all day what? So my kol hayom, what's happening all day? So says Gemara, Amrav lo nitzrucha, el lavio mitoch beiso. We're adding to the Tanakhama, Rabbi Yehuda's adding to the Tanakhama, not only is the Kohen Gadol allowed to be makriv when he's an onein, we have a requirement to go schlep him from his house, bring him to the Beis HaMikdash to do the avoda all day long when he's an onein, in order to make his tsar go away. Kol hayom means to dafka be osek ba'avoda kol hayom, we distract him, we focus him on the avoda, and therefore he's not going to be experiencing the tsar that a normally an onein would experience. Samle abaye hashel Rabbi Yehuda afuke mafkinele. Wait a second, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda is so machmir by aninus, he holds that a Kohen Hedyot Yod, someone who's not a Kohen Gadol, who's in the middle of the Avodah and becomes an Onain, we stop him right in the middle. Titanya, because the Brisa tells us, if a Kohen Hedyot was busy doing the Avodah, he's makrav a karban on the Mizbech, v'shama shemeis lameis, and then he hears that that a relative has died, maniach avodah, so v'yotze, div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, stop the Avodah and get him out of the Beis HaMikdash. And Rabbi Yossi Omer Yigma, Rabbi Yossi says, he could complete the Avodah that he was involved in and then leave the Beis HaMikdash. So you see, Rabbi Yehuda's more machmir than Rabbi Yossi is when it comes to how we treat an Onain. And now you want to tell me, v'atam rasin lemitok beso, that when it comes to the Kohen Gadol, he's going to go to the other extreme? When it comes to a Kohen Hedyot, we're going to say that let him that we're going to stop him right in the middle of the Avodah. And when it comes to a Kohen Gadol, you can go to his house and bring him into the Beis HaMikdash of the Avodah. It defies logic that Rabbi Yehuda would be on such opposite extremes for a Kohen Hedyot on the one hand and a Kohen Gadol on the other hand when it comes to the way he treats Aninus. Ella Amarava Mai Kalayom. What does it mean when we say Kalayom? When Rabbi Yehuda says Kalayom, it means Lomar She'eno Oved Kalayom Gzeira Shameyochal, that he dafka does not do the Avodah Kalayom. That is Nisus Rabbanan for a Kohen Gadol Oned, who's an Oned to be Oved B'Mikdash, that the day that his relative was buried up until that night, a gzeira, he might come to eat kachim. The chum were choshesh that a kohen gadol, since he's involved in the avoda, he's going to eat kachim, because when he's the way Rashi understands, when he's osek in hakravas kachim, he might come to eat from the kachim that he's being osek in. The Magen Avraham in Siman Taf Reish Yud Beis in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim in Sif Katan Vav explains that the chashash is that if the hakravas going to be mutter for him, he'll come to make the mistake and be matir achila as well. That he figures, oh, if I'm allowed to do hakrava, if I'm allowed to do avoda, it must be that I'm allowed to do achila. Not that he'll forget, but that it'll be a logical assessment in his mind. Oh, if hakrava is okay, achila must be okay. The Chacham Tzvi, however, says a little differently. In Siman Kuf and Zayin, in the Tshuva, he says, the chashash is maybe because he's tarud ba'aninuso, he's so caught up in his aninus, he's going to forget and he's going to eat. That it's not because, like Rashi said, because he's doing the avoda with the kachim, so he's going to come to eat the kachim because he's handling it. Nor, like the Magen Avraham says, that he's going to make a cheshbin. If I'm allowed to do the avoda, I must be allowed to eat. It's just that he's going to be he's not thinking. He's in aninus. A person in a state of aninus, not thinking clearly. The whole thing seems like a dream. The whole thing seems like speak to people who go through this. It just seems like surreal. He's not there. He's not fully focused. And that's why he's going to come to eat. That's how the Chacham Tzvi understands the concern. So, Onen Zasar Bachilus Kachim in HaTorah on the Yom HaKvura. The night after, the Yisr is only midrabanan, so they didn't make a gzeira, and he's able to do the avodah. So Rabbi Yehuda says, when he says kolayom, means the whole day he's ba'aninus min haTorah up until night, and therefore we should be gozer on him not to be makriv kolayom, because that's his day of aninus min haTorah. So Amalei Rav Adbar Rava L'Rava, Rav Adbar Rava challenges Rava, umi gozer Rabbi Yehuda, Shema Yochal, is Rabbi Yehuda really make such a gzeira that if ta'asra avodah by the Kohen Gadol, who's an Onain, because he might come to eat the kachim? Is that really the kind of gzeira that Rabbi Yehuda makes? V'hatanan, we have a Mishnah that we started the Masechta with, that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Isha Acheres Maskinin Lo, Shema Tomos Ishto. Now what do? We prepare a second wife for the Kohen Gadol, that we discussed yesterday, the process and how we do this, that we have a second woman waiting in the wings to become his wife for the Kohen Gadol, because his real wife might die. So Imaisa Ishto of an Avoda, and therefore, if his wife dies, the Kohen Gadol will continue to do the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash. V'lo gazer Rabbi Yehuda, Shema Yochal. Well, wait a second, he's an Onain. Rabbi Yehuda never made a gzeira, apparently, that even though his wife died, and now he's an Onain, that he shouldn't do the Avodah because he might come to eat. So if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda made a gzeira in general, that when a Kohen Gadol becomes an Onain, he's got to stop doing the Avodah because he might come to eat, how come in Yom Kippur we don't have such a gzeira? On Yom Kippur we dafka set it up that if he were to become an Onain, he should still be able to continue the Avodah. That's why we have the second wife. But he's an Konein. So Amalei Hachi Ashli says, no, you can't compare the two cases. Hasam Kivin Diyom HaKippurim Hu Dukli Amalo Ka'achli Hu Nami Lo Asi Lemechel. It's Yom Kippur. He's not going to eat in Yom Kippur. Nobody's eating. So he's not going to come to eat in Yom Kippur. But Hacha, when it comes to every other day of the year where a Kohen Gadol is doing the Avoda Dukli Alma Achli, where everybody else is eating, Hu Nami Asi Lemechel, then we have a reason to be Choshesh that he might come to eat Kachem as well if he is engaged in Avoda, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda made a gezeira that he shouldn't do the Avoda when he's in Onain, so that he doesn't come to eat from the Kachim. So from Ravad Barava and Rava, you see that in a case in this case of our Mishnah, the din of Aninus is chal on the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim, meaning this whole discussion assumes that the Kohen Gadol in fact does become an Onain Yom HaKippurim. The question was, why aren't you choshesh he's going to eat Kachim? The answer is, oh, I'm not choshesh because nobody's eating. It's Yom Kippur, so I'm not choshesh. But the assumption that he is an Onain if his wife dies on Yom Kippur, that's not questioned. That seems to be a premise that this whole back and forth was based on. That if his real wife dies, his first wife dies, he does in fact become an Onain. Says we just learned the whole day yesterday, the whole daf yesterday was about how we try to make sure that she's not really his wife. Meaning, if she dies, and it turns out the Mafreya, that she was really divorced the whole time, and that they weren't really married. That's the way we set up the whole system. He gives Git and Al Tanai to both of the women, so he's going to be an Onan anyway, Vamidrasha. They're divorced from each other. So there is no Anina. So why are we even having this discussion that the Kohen Gadol is an Onan on Yom Kippur? Says Mar, no. Nihida Aninus L'chayelele. You're right. Technically speaking, the strict definition of Aninus is not going to be Chal on him, because you're right, his wife was no longer related to him. They were divorced. But Trude Milo Mitrid, but it was his wife. I mean, he didn't really want to divorce her. He did it because he had to set up a system where you're going to be able to say V'chiper Bado V'ad Beso Beso Zuishto, that it was going to work. But he wasn't trying to divorce her. He wasn't interested in sending her away. So since he's very much pitzar over the loss of his wife, he shouldn't be able to eat Kachem, because Kachem has to be eaten with a sense of Simcha. And if you can't eat Kachem with a sense of Simcha, then you can't eat Kachem. The Torah says L'chana Satim L'mashcha. L'mashcha means a Lashon Gedula, that it should be with the sense of Simcha. So since he's Tarud Bimisasa, he's so upset by the loss of the woman that he's been married to for all these years, he's not allowed to eat Kachem. So Tosi Shanim and Tosi Rash raise the question, that's true, that he's not technically an Onain, because he wasn't technically related to her anymore, but it's just very upsetting to him that asks him from eating Kachem. So do we have other dinim like that? Meaning, what if an investment that he made tanks? What if his child does something to upset him? I don't know, whatever upsets people in life. Someone yelled at him, someone cut him off in traffic. I don't know, whatever gets people all riled up. So should we suggest that he's not allowed to eat Kachem then either? Meaning that you're going to have the same din? Meaning either he is an Onain or he's not an Onain. So and over here, he's not an Onain. So why would we Dafka say in such a case that he has the status of an Onain, the Gabe Achilles Kachim, even though he in fact is not really an Onain. So the Ritva's Miyashiv, Shitas Rashi, that it's Dafka a Tsar that comes Machnas Misa, is considered a Tsar of Aninus, and he's also Bekachim. Meaning, you can't just tell me every other Tsar. It is a Tsar of Misa. It just happens to be he's not technically related. But you can't compare the woman who he's been married to for the last 30 years dying and, someone cutting him off in traffic, or any other of the annoyances of life, or the things that are upsetting to a person. This is Aninus. This is death that he's dealing with, even though it's not technically halachic aninus. So Rabbeinu Eliyakim points out, adds that this is mamish aninus to aser v'gzol chalti ba'oni mimeni, that it says by ma'aser kachim is derived from a kal v'chomer, meaning the whole basis for an onain being aser is lo chalti ba'oni mimeni, that we say by ma'aser sheni, and we have a kal v'chomer for kachim. So that's describing someone who's in a sense who's just experienced the loss of a relative. There are the Balei Tosfos suggests different mahalchim in the Gemara, that it doesn't mean that he's an onen, but since he's tarun b'tzara, we have to be choshesh that he might come to eat and he'll be mevatel the mitzvah of ino in Yom Kippurim. They have other approaches, but anyway, that's at least according to Rashi. Okay, new Mishnah now. So the Mishnah discusses Kohen Gadol 7 days before Yom Kippur. This is only the second Mishnah that we've had. The first Mishnah discussed how we sequester him and we make sure that there's a backup Kohen Gadol and a backup wife, or maybe a backup wife, maybe not a backup wife. So we had all that discussion. So now, what does he do during these 7 days? What sorts of avodos do we allow him to do during the 7 days, or do we encourage him to do, to sort of practice and get in the mode of doing avoda for Yom Kippurim? So Kol Shavus Yamim, who Zorik as Adam, all 7 days before Yom Kippurim, the Kohen Gadol is Zorik the Dam of the Karbonos HaTamid that they're makriv twice each and every day on the Mizbeach. Umakter Saktores, he also is makter the Ketores each and every day, where they take half in Shachris, half Ben Arbaim. Umetiv HaSaneros, he cleans out each morning the menorah. Umakriv HaSarosh HaSaregel, and he's the one that's makriv the Rosh and the Regel of the Karbon Tamid Shal Shachar and Karbon Tamid Shal Ben Arbaim, in order that he should be ready to do the Avodah on Yom Kippur. So we keep him busy doing some of the primary avodas that happen in the Beis HaMikdash each and every day. So the Mishnah explains that throughout the rest of the year, a Kohen Gadol can also just walk in and take charge. Ushar Kala Yamim, throughout the rest of the year, these avodas don't have to be done by a Kohen Gadol, but Im Ratza Lahakriv Makriv, if he chooses, he wants to be Makriv, then he can be Makriv, whatever carbon he wants. And the Kohanim whose turn it is that day have to step aside and let the Kohen Gadol take charge. She Kohen Gadol Makriv Chelik Brosh, he's the first one to be Makriv whatever he wants. Vinotel Chelik Brosh, and he can take for himself any part of the carbon that gets eaten. He's allowed to take for himself without dividing it with the other Kohanim who are ra'ui to do the avoda from that base av that is on that day. And even if he doesn't, the Kohen Gadol doesn't belong to that base av. He's the Kohen Gadol, and he can choose whichever avodas to do and whichever kunchim meat he wants to eat. So says Gemara, Man Tana, who's the Tana of our Mishnah that during the 7 days prior to Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol is working in the Beis HaMikdash? So Rav Chista Dullo Rabbi Akiva. That's against Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva would never let him do avoda in the week before Yom Kippur. Why not? What would be the problem with the Kohen Gadol doing avoda? And the whole rest of the year he's allowed to do the avoda. Why would we dafka say he's not allowed to do the avoda the week before Yom Kippurim? Who is this Rabbi Akiva that says such a thing? Dear Rabbi Akiva, if it were like Rabbi Akiva, Ha'amar Tar Shnofel of Hazah Timatu Heich Avad Avoda. Rabbi Akiva's shita is that whenever you have the mechata sprinkled on you, it makes you tame. So a tar person who has the mechata sprinkled on him becomes tame. So if that's the case, that he's going to become tame, and we learned, we learned about a week ago that we're maza all 7 days on the Kohen Gadol prior to Yom Kippurim. Out of the chashash, maybe he became tame. So we had a whole discussion. When would he have become tame that we would require being maza on him on day 4? You know, we worked out how we have to be maza shlishi or shvi, and each day might be shlishi or shvi, and we're maza kol shavus yom, we're maza all 7 days. So we're sprinkling on him all 7 days. It means he's becoming tame all 7 days. And if he's becoming tame all 7 days, he certainly can't do the avoda, did Tanya, because the Brisa tells us when we talk about a tame mace that becomes tahar by the sprinkling of the mechatas of the ashes of the paraduma mixed with water, vihiza atar ala tame. Pasuk says that we sprinkle a tahar kohen, sprinkles on the tame person on Yom HaShlishi and Yom HaShvi. So why does it have to say al hatame? Obviously it's al hatame. Al hatame tahar val atar tame. It's coming to tell us that the tame person becomes tahar and the tahar person that gets sprinkled on becomes tame. Meaning, if you were tahar and you had azaz mechadas, you become tame. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. So that's shitas Rabbi Akiva. V'chamor melecham say ein advar malalu amurin ella bedvarim hamekablim tuma. These dinim that are mentioned in this pasuk about the mechatas are only in relation to things that are mekabel tuma. But if you were to sprinkle the mechatas on that which is not mekabel tuma, then it's not considered to be a hazaa at all. So you see that if you sprinkle on even a Torah person, the Torah person is going to become Tamei according to Rabbi Akiva. So the thing is, when you become Tamei as a result of Mechatas, you don't need Hazas Mechatas in order to become Tar. You just have to go to the mikveh and you become Tar by that night. You have Harav Shemesh, you go to the mikveh, you have Harav Shemesh, and you're Tar by that night. So the guy who gets the Mechatas sprinkled on him, if he was Tamei with Tumas Meis, this is very helpful to him. By Hazas Shlishi Yushvi, he he's going to be able to emerge from Tumas Meis. But by getting the Azar Shlishu Shvi, he's becoming Tamei Tumas Erev. So he's going to require another Tevila and Harav Shemesh in order to be able to be Tar by that night. So Maihi. So what are the Chachamim driving at when they say that Ein Advar Malalu Amurim El B'Dvar Mekablim Tuma? So Kedetran, there's a Mishnah Maseches Parah that tells us as follows. Neskavin Lahazos Al Behema. If a person is trying to sprinkle the Mechatas onto a behema is not ra'oi to have mechata sprinkled on it, because a behema cannot become tamei. Behema is not makabel tuma. The Torah says it's beferish in the Torah. Behema tameya talks about behema. No, that's a non-kosher animal, right? That's talking about an animal doesn't right. That's not kosher to eat. But a behema, when it's alive, cannot become tamei. When it's dead, it's a nevela. Tumas nevela is a very severe form of tuma. But a living behema cannot become tamei. So niskavin lazal behema, you're trying to sprinkle the mechatas on the behema. Vihiza ala adam, and you accidentally miss and you hit a tamei person, which is what you should have been aiming for in the first place, right? The tamei person is the one that needs the azar, not the behema. So yesh be'ezov yishna. If there's a little more mechata still in the bundle that you're using to do the sprinkling, so do it again in order to be metara the person, because the first hazah didn't work since it was below kavana. When you when you sprinkled the person in the first place, you were trying to hit a behema. You weren't trying to get it on the person, so it doesn't work. But you don't have to re-dip the ezov in order to do the second sprinkling. Even though the original dipping was with the kavana that it should be for the behema, but since at the end of the day you didn't sprinkle on the behema, it's not going to ruin the rest of the mayim that's in the azov. So you could just swing again with the azov to try to hit the person with the mechatas. Niskavin lahazos ala adam izal behema. What if the reverse? You were trying to do the right thing. You were trying to sprinkle onto the person, but you accidentally sprinkled onto a behema. Im yesh be'ezov lo yishne. If there's more mechatas in the Ezov, you're not allowed to just resprinkle. You have to dip it again in the mechatas that's in the kli, and then sprinkle it on the person, because the mayim that was in the Ezov became pasul by virtue of the fact that it was sprinkled onto a behema, that some of it was sprinkled onto a behema, which is not mekabel tumah. So that's not considered a hazah, that's considered a malacha, and mechatas that malacha was done with becomes invalidated. So that din, the chamdarshin from the extra word in the pasuk of al hatamei, that dafka when you're maza mechatas on a tamei or on that which is roi lekabel tuma, only then is it called hazaa. But when you're maza mechatas on a behema, it's not even roi lekabel tuma. It's not even called hazaa. It's called malacha at that point. And if it's called malacha, it passels the whole rest of the mechatas. My time is Rabbi Kiva. How does Rabbi Kiva derive from the pasuk that if someone was tahar and they had mechatas sprinkled on them, that they become tamei? So because nichtav rachmana, because the pasuk could have just said these atar alav, and I would have understood who you're sprinkling on. My al hatame. Why does it have to spell out that you're sprinkling the mechatas on the tame person? Shema mina al tame tar ve al tar tame. That's to teach me that if you tak a sprinkle on the tame person, he becomes tar, and if you sprinkle on a tar person, he becomes tame. Again, tame means in this context that he's only going to become tame tumas erev, but he is in fact going to become tame. Virabbanan, the Rabbanan would disagree. How did they darshan that extra phrase in the pasuk? Sahayli dvarma mekabel tumuda asa. Like we just said, they use ala tame to tell me that it's only called a hazaa when it's a sprinkling on that which is mekabel tuma. Aval hacha, but in the case where you're mazem echatas alatar, kalvachomeru, im alatame tar alatar lokolshkein. Think about it. If you have a person who's with the most severe form of tuma and you sprinkle the mechatas on him, it's mitire him. So if you have a person who's tahar, you sprinkle the mechatas on, of course that guy should be tahar. Even someone who's very, very tamei emerges tahar from sprinkling of mechatas. So someone who's tahar should for sure emerge tahar from sprinkling of mechatas. So asking Marv Rabbi Akiva, Hainu Dekamar Shlomo, according to Rabbi Akiva, what's his answer to the Kal V'chomer? Very simply, he says, you're right. It's illogical. It makes no sense. Hainu Dekamar Shlomo Marti Echtma V'hiru Chokam Mimeni. That Shlomo HaMelech said, I thought I'd be so wise. I wanted to have a certain amount of Chachma, but at a certain point I failed. At a certain point, I was not Matzliach to achieve that level of Chachma. It was something that was Rachok Mimeni, that was beyond my Havana. And that is exactly this issue. Why is it when you sprinkle Mechatos on a Tamei person, he becomes Tahar, but on a Tahar person, he becomes becomes tameh. Not logical, but that's the chok of the Torah. That's the what the Torah says. And this drasha is a correct drasha, but that's exactly why Shlomo HaMelech had trouble with it. Rabbanan, but Rabbanan said that that's not true, that the din isn't true. That if you sprinkle on a tar person, he remains tar. So then what was Shlomo HaMelech worried about? What did he not understand about Parah Aduma? So says Marno, Hahu l'mazah l'mazah l'lov tahar v'nogeah ben tameh. What Shlomo HaMelech had trouble with is the din that someone who's mazah mechatas and the person that they were mazah mechatas on are tahar, whereas the person who touches mechatas, not for the purpose of hazaah, just happens to touch mechatas, that guy's going to be tameh. That's beyond Shlomo HaMelech's understanding. How could it be that the mazah and the guy that you were mazah on both become tahar, whereas someone who's just nogeah b'mechatas outside of the context of hazaah becomes tameh? Is it something that's metameh or is it something that's not metameh? So that's where the Rabbanan say that it's ruchok and many that Shlomo HaMelech couldn't understand. Umazah tahar, says Mar, is that true though? Is the guy who sprinkles the mechatas really tahar? Vaksiv, doesn't the pasuk say umazeh mehanida? Mehanida means the mechatas. Yichavis begadav, he needs kibus begadim, meaning he becomes so tameh that even his begadim become tameh. So how could you say that Shlomo HaMelech was confused why the sprinkler is tahar, the guy who does the sprinkling, sprinkler is the thing in your lawn, why the guy who does the sprinkling becomes tameh, he remains tahar? He doesn't remain tahar. It says yichavis begadav, he becomes tameh. So says Mar, no, my mazah, when the pasuk says mazah, that the guy who's mazah is yichavis begadav, it really means nogeya. It means someone who touches the mechatas. It doesn't mean the guy who actually does the sprinkling of the mechatas. Vaksiv mazav vaksiv nogeya. It's not true, because the hemshech of the pasuk says vanogeya b'me'ani da yitma adarev. So if it talks about the mazah and then it talks about the nogeya, the mazah is not the nogeya, because we want to give him two separate titles. Va'od mazav ba'i kibus begadim. Nogeya lo ba'i kibus begadim. And if you look at what the Torah says about the nogeya, it says that the nogeya does not require kibus begadim. He doesn't become so tameh that even his begadim become tameh. But the mazah, whoever that is, does require kibus begadim. So don't go telling me that the mazah is really the nogeah. First of all, the Torah calls them different things. Second of all, they have different halachos, the mazah and the nogeah. So the mazah is not the nogeah. So we're back to the question. How could you say that the mazah is tahar when the Torah tells me the mazah needs to do kibus begadim? Elamai mazah, no, you know what mazah means? No say. It means someone who carries mechatas, he requires kibus begadim, but the mazah himself, the one who actually does the sprinkling, does not require kibbutz begadim. So when the Torah says a mazah requires kibbutz begadim, it's talking about someone who carries the mechatas outside of the context of hazaah. V'nichtav rachmana nosei. So why does the Torah call him a mazah? Let the Torah call him what he is. He's a nosei. He's someone who's carrying. My time ksiv mazah. Why does it call him a mazah? Hakamash mandabin and shir hazaah. That the Torah is telling me that someone who carries the mechatas is only going to become tameh if he carries enough of it that would be you'd be able to use for the hazaah. But the guy who actually does the hazah, he remains tahar. It's the guy who carries the mechatos. If he's carrying enough of it, that's the guy who's going to become tameh. Well, honey, chlamandi amar hazah tzri chashir. This makes a lot of sense if you assume that the hazah of the mechatos requires a shear of the quantity of water that touches a person in order to be metaren him. So I understand that you're going to say that only if you carry that shear are you going to become tameh. There is a shear. El mandi amar hazah tzri chashir. But if you hold that hazah doesn't even require a shear, there is no amount, there is no minimal amount, anything, it's kolshu. So ma'ikel lememer, how are you going to explain the Gemara? How are you going to explain why it is that the Torah used the word mazeh to describe the nosei, to describe someone who's carrying? So afil mandam razayin tzri chashir, hani mili agaba de gavra, avu manet tzri chashir. Now everybody holds that there needs to be a certain amount of mechatos in the kli from which you're dipping the ezov and then sprinkling on the person. The whole machlok is about whether hazad tzri chashir or not, is how much water needs to actually hit the guy, how much has to actually hit the person's tummy that you're trying to be metired. That's machlokas, whether it's tzri chashir or reina tzri chashir. But certainly the amount of water that you're starting with to sprinkle the ezov and do the sprinkling on the guy, that for sure is tzri chashir. So it still makes sense to say that the Torah is calling the guy who's nosei a mazeh, not because he's actually doing sprinkling, but because he's only going to become tummy if he carries enough of the water that we'd be able to do the sprinkling with. Ditznan, because the Mishnah tells us in the 12th parak of Maseches Parah, kama yehebe and yehebe kidei hazaa. How much do you need in order to have a kidei hazaa? What taka is the shear? Kidei sheyitbal rashi givoldin viyaza. Enough to dip the tips of the stems of the azov and then be able to do a hazaa still. So since the whatever's in the kli does require a shear, so the Torah calls it balashon maza. Abaye yamar afilu tem Rabbi Akiva. So Abaye says, no, our Mishnah could even be going like Rabbi Akiva, who holds that hazaa of mechatos on a tahar person is metamim. Meaning, let's go back for a second. We said that the Mishnah said that the Kohen Gadol is makriv all 7 days in advance of Yom HaKippurim. So right off the bat, the Gemara said, that's not like Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva holds that anyone who had mechata sprinkled on him becomes tameh, so there's no, and the Kohen Gadol 7 days in advance has mechata sprinkled on him every day, so he's becoming tameh every day, there's no way he's allowed to do the avoda. So says Gemara, no, he can have the mechata sprinkled on him every day and still do the avoda. He becomes tameh from the mechata sprinkled on him and he still does the avoda. It's all about timing. When are you going to sprinkle the mechatas on him? How about this, says Rabbi Akiva, let him do the whole day's avoda, and then at the very end of the day, sprinkle mechatas on him, and all he needs to do is go to the mikvah, harav shemesh, sun sets, and he's tar again, ready for the next day to do the avoda again. As long as you time the mechatas toward the end of the day, Rabbi Akiva would also agree he's allowed to do the avoda each and every day. Afilu tem Rabbi Akiva, David avoda, kula yama, he does the avoda all day, ulufanya, madualei, and in the evening they're going to be maza on him, v'tavel, and then he'll go to the mikvah, v'avad harav shemesh, and he'll have his harav shemesh as soon as the sun sets, and he'll be ready to do avoda again the next day. So we don't have to say that our Mishnah is dafka going against the shita of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, Maktir Sektoris who made Tivasaneros. The Mishnah then said that your Maktir the Ktoris, the Kohen Gadol, is Maktir the Ktoris and Maitiv the Neros throughout those 7 days, but it says first that he's Maktir the Ktoris and then that he cleans out the Neros in the menorah. Alma Ktoris Breshavad the Neros. It sounds like Ktoris comes before the Neros. Or a Minhu, but I'll ask you a Stira, because we have a Mesech in Shas called Meseches Tamid, and in Meseches Tamid we go through the Seder Avoda of each and every day. And it says, when we do the raffles of who gets to do what in the Beis HaMikdash each day, so it says, first it goes through Misha Zacha, a person who's Zacha Bedishim Mizbeach HaPanimi, to take off the ashes of the Mizbeach HaPanimi, and the Mishnah then elaborates on how to do that. And then it says in the following Mishnah, Umisha Zacha B'Menorah, whoever was Zacha to do the Dishna Menorah. And then after that, Daflam Beis HaMikdash says, Umisha Zacha B'Ketores, the person who's Zacha B'Ketores. So from that, the order of Mishnayos, you see very clearly, Menorah comes before the Ketores. Yet over here, in our Mishnah, we said, Maktir HaKetores Umeitav HaSaneros, that the Ketores comes before the Hatav HaSaneros of the Menorah. So which is it? So Amar Rav Huna, Man Tana Tamid, Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzvah. It's Machlokas. And the author of Meseches Tamid is a Tana named Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzvah, but Einoch Hinami, the author of the Mishnayos and Meseches Yuma, disagrees with the author of the Mishnayos and Meseches Tamid about the Seder of the Avodah each day. I frankly marva ibcha shaminilei, but we find the opposite. The Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzvah disagrees with Mishnayos and Meseches Tamid. He can't be the stam author of Mishnayos and Meseches Tamid. Ditnan, because when it talks about throwing the dam of the Tamid Shal Shachar on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, the Mishnah describes Bala Lekeren Mizrachas Tzfonis. He goes to the northeast corner of the Mizbeach and he's standing on the floor of the Azara, Vinosin Mizrachas Tzfona, and he throws dam on that corner of the Mizbeach, thereby hitting both the north and the eastern side of the Mizbeach. And then Marav Zdromas, then he goes to the southwest corner of the Mizbeach, Venosi Marav Droma, and does another Zrika that hits both the southern side and the western side of the Mizbeach. Vitani Allah, so that's the Stam Mishnah in Tamid. Vitani Allah, and about that, the Mishnah, the Braisa adds, Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzvah Mishana B'Tamid, Mizrach Tzvonis no saying Mizrach Tzvona, but Marav Zdromas no saying Marava, V'Acharkach no saying Droma. Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzvah disagrees with the Stam Mishnah and Tamid. He says, you know how you get the Dam of the Karmat Tamid on all four walls of the Mizbech? Go to the northeast corner of the Mizbech, do exactly like we said. Throw it at the corner and it will splatter on the two sides, on the northern side and the eastern side. But then go to the southwest corner and do two separate Azaos. First on the western side and then on the southern side. So you see Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzvah argues on Stam Mishnayis and Tamid. So don't tell me, the answer to the stira between our Mishnah and Yuma and the Mishnah and Tamid about which comes first, the Ketores or the Neros, that the answer to that stira is that Rabbi Shimon HaShemitzvah is the author of Maseches Tamid. We see he's not. He disagrees with the author of Maseches Tamid. Salam Rabbi Yochanan, man tana seder yoma, Rabbi Shimon HaShemitzvah. No, so let's say it differently. You're right. Maseches Tamid is not Rabbi Shimon HaShemitzvah. Maseches Yuma, the Stam Tana Maseches Yuma, is Rabbi Shimon HaShemitzvah, which is fascinating. Meaning what you see is that even though Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi arranged the Mishnayos, the Stam Mishnayos are not Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, right? We have a Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir, and in different Maseches, Stam Mishnah are different people. Meaning there were people who Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was the one who put it all together, but there were people who had arranged certain Maseches very, very well and very clearly, and Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi picked. He was Malachi. So this Tana did Maseches Yuma very well, so Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi made the Stam Mishnayos in Maseches Yuma, like that Tana, and that Tana did Maseches Tamid very well, so he did like that Tana. V'rami Seder Yuma says, well, yeah, but we have a stira within Maseches Yuma. So forget about Maseches Tamid for a second. We have a stira in Maseches Yuma in terms of which one comes first. Ditnan, Payas Hasheni, the second of the four payasos that they would do each day in the Beis HaMikdash, included 13 different avodos, and Mi Shochet decided who shechted the carbon Tamid, Mi Zorek, who was Zorek the Dam and the Mizbech, Mi Medashen, Mizbech HaPanimi, who would take the ashes of the Mizbech HaPanimi, Mi Medashen as a menorah, and who would take the ashes from the menorah, Umi Mala Evarim Lakevesh, and who would bring the Evarim up the ramp of the Mizbech. And after the Payas Hasheni, the Kohanim would each go to do their avoda, and then the Mishnah says that afterwards they would regather, and Payas Hashlishi, Chadashim Laktores Bovefisu, they decided to say, whoever has not yet had an opportunity to be Maktir Ketores, now gets an opportunity to participate in the raffle to be Maktir the Ketores. So the order of the Goralos is Hatavas HaNeros comes before the Ketores. Our Mishnah says that the Ketores comes before the Neros. So forget about Maseches Tamid for a minute. Within Maseches Yuma, we have a stira, which one comes first, the Ketores or the Neros? Now, it's in it, we say Chadashim the Ketores, Yavovi Yafisu, that people who are new to the Ketores, and that's a well-known halacha that the Rama writes in Yeridaya in Simin Reish Samachay, that we're the minig is to be Mahader after the mitzvah of being a Sandik, to be the one to hold the baby during the Bris Milah, and Yafakach HaSandik Mikach HaMoel, as far as an Aliyah, the Torah, the Sandik is a bigger chiyuv for Aliyah than the Moel is, because the Sandik is like a Maktir Ketores. The Sandik has the same din like someone who's Maktir Ketores. There are Midrashim to that have such an expression, that the Sandik is like a Maktir Ketores, and his knees are like the Mizbeach. So if that's the case, says the Rama, that's why you don't give Shnei Yiladim Lebal Bris Echad. You don't give the same guy Sandik for two different children, because Chadashim Le Ketores. You bring Chadashim to be advised, because people who previously had not had the opportunity to do it. So it's because Ketores was a school of Rashirus, so they wanted to spread the wealth, literally. Let more people become wealthy. So the school of Rashirus is the same thing when it comes to Sandikos. That's what they say, Bashem the Stipler, that the Stipler said he was Sandik many, many times, and he still didn't have so much money. He wasn't so wealthy. So, but we have a different definition of wealth. Ezu Ashir, Hasameach Bechalgo, he was perfectly happy. Rav Shechter said when he went to buy Kildas Yaakov from the Stipler, he went to visit the Stipler and he wanted to buy some of the Svarim, so he said the Stipler was deaf, he couldn't hear it, you know, it was difficult to communicate with him, he had to write everything down, and he said he wanted to, so he asked him which Masechtas, he had to write down which Masechtas he wanted to buy Kilas Yaakov. So he climbs up on a ladder, he goes up to the top, you know, like an old man, he's climbing up on the ladder, going up to the top shelf. So Rav Shechter gives him whatever it is, I don't know, 10 shekel, and the Stipler starts taking out change. He says, no, it's okay, you keep the change. He said, no, I'm not interested in tzedakah, not interested in charity, that he wanted to give exactly the right change for the sefer. So of course you're not going to become rich if you don't take anything from anybody. So he didn't. He's writing svarim and he made a little bit of parnasa from selling the svarim. But he said the definition of ashirus is different. Nadi Biuta though writes that minig is not this way. That the minig is not like the Ramah. That people do get sandik multiple times. The chasam sofer and the Nadi Biuta says haraya, the avbeis din of the city, always gets sandik. The chief rabbi of the city city is always getting sandik. So the Chassam Sofer says that's not a raya to anything. Chief Rabbi is a different story. Why is the Chief Rabbi a different story? He says because he's connected to Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is any day that our Mishnah said, any day Kohen Gadol wants to do it, he's allowed to do it. If he's the Chief Rabbi of the whole place, so then he's like the Kohen Gadol in that city. So he could take it whenever he wants. Okay, so anyway, but bottom line is we have a stira even within Maseches Yuma, which one comes first? So I'm Rabbi Lokasha. Kan ba'tavish shtei neros, kan ba'tavish chamish neros. They split the atavish haneros. It wasn't all done at one time. Our Mishnah is talking about the atavish shtei neros, which happens last, after the Ketores. Whereas the Mishnah later on that talks about atavish neros happening before the Ketores, in the Pius Hasheni, that's the atavish chamish neros. That happens before the Ketores. So says Gemara, really, is that what splits up the atavish chamish neros from the atavish shtei neros? Lememra de b'Ketores mafsik lu? Are we mafsik between the in the atavish haneros with Ketores? Abaye Mesader say the Mesader Ma'aracha Meshmei de Gemara. Abaye, this should sound familiar. This is Mesader the Avoda that they did every day in the Beis Hamikdash, based on what the tradition they received from the Rebbeim. Ubedama Tamid, and the Seder of the Dama Tamid, when they shechted the Dama Tamid and they were Zorik, was Mafsiklu. He would be Mafsik between the two Atavos. Whereas the Haktores, it was done after the Atav of all of the Neros. So how can you say that the Haktores was right in between the Atavos Chamish Neros and the Atavos Shtei Neros? No! Abaye had the Dama Tamid in between. The Haktores was after. It was the Zrik of the Dama Tamid that happened in between. So lo kasha, hahila abashotu. The Seder Avoda that Abaye elaborates on, that Abaye tells us about, that we say every morning, is according to Abashotu. Ha Rabbanan. Whereas our Mishnah goes like the Rabbanan. Titania lo yita vesaneros vachar kach yaktir. You shouldn't be mate of the neros and then afterwards be maktir the ktoris. Ela yaktir vachar kach yitav. First you have a kohen be maktir the ktoris, and then he should be mate of the neros. Abashotu omer. Meitiv achar kach maktir, that you're meitiv all shiva neros, and then the kohen is maktir the ketores, and in between the two atavos, what are you mafsik with? You're mafsik with the dam of the karmat tamid, which really begs the question, meaning. It seems to me, so it's a machlokas, what they did in between Atavish Chamesh Neros and Atavish Shtei Neros. The Chuvas Yosef Ometz points out that why is it the Chazals were misakin that each and every day we say in Karbanos, the Memra of Abaye Alibada B'Sha'ul, it's against the Rabbanan. We don't paskin that way. We paskin like the Sheet of the Rabbanan. The Raman paskins like the Sheet of the Rabbanan. So what we say is Shaloki Hilchasa each and every day. So it's a little bit strange. So he says that since the reason for the Takana to say the Memra of Abaye is to be Mezaka Klal Yisrael, that they should learn Mishnah and Gemara every day. So they chose this Memra about the Karbanos, even though Shalom Alib Dilchsa, because there's a principle, Elev El Divrei Elokim Chaim. Meaning the purpose of saying that those lines of Karbanos are not because that's the kiyum of being Makrav Karbanos, it's because we need to learn Mishnah and Gemara every day. So we pick Ezu Mekomen for the Mishnais, and we pick that for the Gemara, so that's what we learn. So we're learning about those topics that relate to the Karbanos. But it's not really in a chinami. It's not really the order that the Karbanos. In fact, Ezu Mekomen, everyone knows that the reason we have to learn the Mishnayos of Ezu Mekomen is because there's no machlokas in all of Ezu Mekomen. Yeah, but we don't pass. There's no machlokas in the Perek. But there are Brises and Mishnayos all over Shas that disagree with things that it says in that Perek. And we pass against a lot of what it says in that Perek. Yeah, but because there's no machlokas, it's an easy Mishnah to learn. So it's easy, you don't have to get involved, it's easy to learn. But it doesn't mean that we necessarily pass in that way. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up from there tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful day.